Empire of the Suns.
Suns.
Empire of the Suns.
Wet like on book. Wet like on book. Wet like on book.
Arizona Sports presents the Empire of the Suns podcast.
Empire of the Suns.
Let's go, Kevin Zimmerman. New intro, new year,
fire.
New me, new us.
Intro.
Shouts to the Kevin Zimmerman. Hello, I'm Kellen Olson. Welcome to the Empire of the Suns podcast. Kevin, you came up with a brilliant idea of taking the line right there off Sicko Mode and putting it on an intro. And the wonderful Jason Veazey made it happen. Yeah, shouts to him. That's awesome. I'm super excited to hear the podcast and hear us talking after that.
New season, new Suns, we're moving on and we're shedding the dead weight. Speaking of which...
Oh, hey! Yeah, we were really looking towards that intro and saying, oh, whenever you can get it done, man. And then when this trade broke, of course, ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski reporting during the Cardinals' electric preseason finale against the Denver Broncos, in which you and I were both attending. Also during the Dodgers taking on the D-backs, another fairly big Valley sports game. Woj reported that the Suns have traded Brandon Knight and Marquise Chris to the Houston Rockets for Ryan Anderson and DeAnthony Melton. My instant reaction was, holy crap, because we have been talking about on this podcast for weeks how I'm not ready to turn off my Woj notifications yet. Just not there yet. It feels like something else has to happen. That's
never
what we kept
it.
Saying.
Never do it.
And you should just never do it in general, right? And this is why we didn't do it. We were sitting next to each other when it happened. We didn't really talk. We just started typing because that's what we do.
I actually didn't do anything.
I
don't know why I told you to start typing. I'm sorry.
I don't even think we have talked about the trade. I'll transition to you here by saying my overall thought is what you tweeted last night is that if you have any huge reaction to this trade, don't really trust your judgment. This is not a huge, big splash move. This is not a moronic trade. It is what it is. It's the Suns moving on, as I wrote last night.
If you think that Marquise Chris can be a reclamation project before he was even out of his raw rookie shell, then okay. If you think Brandon Knight could come off an ACL injury and be a lot better than he was before an ACL injury, which he proved, then that's fair, and I can say that's could be true, but... If it's with the Suns, I would be surprised. If they were usable rotation players, and for Knight specifically, average even, I would be like, wow, that's great for him. But they're going to go to Houston. They might very well succeed in structure. Marquise Chris has had zero structure, even in going back to college. Lorenzo Romar wasn't known as a guy who had structure. Brandon Knight, if you put him in a role where he's catching and shooting threes and occasionally all right, you guys, this floor is so wide open, I can just take guys off the bounce easily without wasting a lot of energy and pounding the rock into the ground, he's going to do well and score 20 points a game now and then. But if you're talking about them playing heavy roles on the Suns, then I don't know. It doesn't change anything from the Suns' perspective. It doesn't move the needle. Maybe it moves it down because now you have a position crunch with Ryan Anderson if you really think, as Woj reported, that he's going to start at power forward.
Yeah, I think we should just... There are several different angles to this trade. A lot of people were firing off a lot of different reactions just because there's so many different ways this trade moves things for both teams, really, and for two careers in particular. Brandon Knight and Marquise Chris, you want to talk about lucking out. They get to go play in Houston. Brandon Knight gets to play with Chris Paul or James Harden, probably is on the floor with one of those guys at all times. If not, he's replacing one of them and just switching off every now and then with one of those guys as the ball handler. And then Marquise Chris gets to go to a situation where he is going to be the rim-running, playmaking type of five that just has to make energy plays all over the place. And with the defensive system that they have there, I think that really suits him, and that those guys really lucked out. That was one of my reactions. But overall, I just think, especially with what we heard today, John Gambadoro reporting that the Suns have – looked around the league a bit and spoken with teams about point guards, not even just like today, but in the past. And I think Woj's reporting was very telling, the wording. That's the thing with Woj's stories is we always click on them to see not only what he leaves in there as nuggets, but how he says it. And how he said his report was that the Suns continue to look for a starting caliber point guard. This is something that they have been doing already. It did not just start now.
Shaq Harrison, they like him as a backup, which means... And Eliakobo could play a little bit too, so it's like, well, you didn't name a starter, so what does that mean?
And John Gambadoa reporting today that the Suns don't have a deal lined up, essentially. Like, they tried to get one of those guys to no avail so far, but this was not something where they made the night trade and then they had a point guard trade lined up right away. And what that should tell you about this deal is that they just wanted to get this done. They wanted to move on from Brandon Knight. They wanted to move on from Marquise Chris. Sure, a stretch four in Ryan Anderson helps you, a veteran who will know what he's going to do, but he's on the wrong end of his career. Hey, maybe they had D'Anthony Melton ranked top 20, but you know how they had ranked top 15 or top 10? Eliakobo. And they took Eliakobo at 31. They did not take D'Anthony Melton. D'Anthony Melton's not signed to a contract right now, so he could still be moved in one of those deals. And do you, before getting on with Chris and Knight, but not moving completely on from them, but do you see a situation in which if they trade for a point guard, they keep both Okobo and Melton? Because I don't think anyone has really discussed that. Having two rookie point guards as your backups behind, you assume, a NBA caliber, starting caliber point guard.
You're going to hate this that I'm going to say, but I think Melton fits with Booker so well that you could use Booker as technically a point guard. And people hate that idea for good reason, but...
Me.
Offense, like, the whole thing was you didn't need him to... It's not really a traditional point guard slot, so maybe Booker's handling the ball more for stretches as, like, technically the backup, like Joe Johnson did a long time ago. And then you could have Melton playing off the ball. You could have Melton play as the primary guard a little bit. So I think he slots in pretty favorably whichever way you go. So I'm not really concerned about him and Okobo both staying. The bigger issue with me is... We saw it when Mikal Bridges was drafted. We said there are too many wings. TJ Warren was signed. Josh Jackson was drafted. Trevor Ariza was added. And now we thought Ariza was going to start as a small ball four. Well, Ryan Anderson apparently is going to do that. Anyway, it stacks up. It's that crunch at small forward where Josh Jackson and TJ Warren are not going to be happy, or Mikal Bridges isn't going to get playing time, so his defense and his shooting is not going to be there. So it's just a mess. I'll just say it's a mess there. And so that is as telling to me as having two rookie point guards right now.
Yeah,
that they absolutely have to do something else.
To wrap up Knight and Chris, this was a year, and maybe last year was for Chris, and last year could have been for Knight, but it could have been this year too. You could have looked at it and said, hey, why didn't they play, see another season, see if they could bump up their trade value a little bit more. What the Suns are doing now is saying, uh-uh, we have a new coach, we have a new system, we have a number one pick, we have another top 10 pick, we just paid our star shooting guard $157 million. We are not doing this crap anymore. We are moving on, we are going to go get a new point guard, we are not going to see if Marquise Chris can battle with Rashawn Holmes for backup minutes, we're not going to see if Brandon Knight can start at point guard, and if not, maybe we go acquire someone, maybe we're fine with pivoting to Eliakobo or Isaiah Cannon. They were not doing that. And for everything that they said in the media, for everything that was written about Brandon Knight, it sure seems like he did have that change in mindset. We're not discounting that at all. But the Suns clearly were ready to move on when they could. And that's just what this trade is all about. You can say the money here, Melton there, whatever. Yes, those are all nice things to add on. But this was quite simply about moving on. And I've said move on like 400 times since last night. But that's just because that's what this is. And I don't think we hit on this yet. We should end by saying with those two guys, Knight was the biggest gamble that McDonough made. It was his first gamble. I wrote on Bright Side of the Sun the day that trade happened. This is Ryan McDonough's true first gamble, and it went horribly wrong. Marquise Chris was one of his biggest gambles. I don't think we can maybe say we'd have to rank
them. It would look a lot worse if the Kings had not drafted Georges Papagiannis with that pick.
Exactly.
Like, if they had drafted someone good, like, that would look a lot worse.
Revisionist history is going to look back at that and say, oh, well, Scalabissier and Georges Papagiannis, who cares? Those two guys are out of the league. Bogdan Bogdanovic is just a
there's a lot of incompetence all around.
Off the bench, but that was just a lot of incompetence. And the bottom line is you traded two first-round picks and a shooting guard who you knew was at least an NBA-caliber shooting guard, at least, shooter.
Can I just say that...
Marquese Chris, who was a raw... unproven, high upside selection you knew was a gamble, and you already took a power forward in that draft. It's a disaster, and I just want to make sure we hit on that because that is the most important part of this. Go ahead, sorry.
Yeah, I just wanted to point out that everyone who's like, all the Suns fans, all the Suns reporters are homers. If you want to listen to our podcast and call us homers, I guess, do that.
Yeah, Brian Gimmerman, shut your mouth.
By the way, he had a good, very... nice summation of it, which was, hey, if you think Melton's better than Chris is going to turn out, then that's all the trade is. Like, financially, it's a wash with Anderson taking down his guaranteed money for next season. It's going to be the same as Knights if they want to buy him out. Real quick, Gambo also reported today that Brandon Knight, 6 weeks ago from today, actually had a knee clean out. So that's another thing where it's like, pump the brakes as far as health, which... that's just one of those things that's awful. And like, those two guys, like, I think Chris was a good dude. Like, he had his troubles on the court, and you ask coaches a million times and they could lie, but he was like a really nice kid. Hopefully he gets it together. Brandon Knight, even though he was like very cold to the media upon getting here, I think it was, I understand why he was that way, and he kind of redeemed himself at the end before he even played another game, where he was just like, I realize, like, I just need to play ball and enjoy it. And
me and you both were like, why is no one talking about that Brandon Knight has started 98% of his games in the NBA? He came in Detroit in his rookie year and started almost right away and then kept starting. Why is no one talking about the fact that this guy is going to go from that to coming off the bench? Why can't we talk about how is he going to possibly respond to that in a positive way? And it's like, he's a professional. He gets paid a lot of money, blah, blah, blah. Hot takes.
Not under a certain coach who, again, if
and
revisionist history, we're... yeah, I won't go down that road again.
Well, no, just quickly to take it back to that, Knight and Chris were both in terrible situations. This was not a good situation at all.
Those are the two guys most affected by that coaching regime, in my opinion.
100%, yeah.
So...
and to take it back to your point, to close it out on Knight and Chris in Houston, look, PJ Tucker on your team, we're going to root for you, but you will not find two bigger Rockets fans in the playoffs than us, rooting for Brandon Knight, rooting for Marquese Chris, rooting for PJ Tucker. All three of those guys were great. I know Knight had his little dust-ups here and there with the media where he wouldn't say much or just didn't want to talk to us. Marquese Chris was always great and open, which was very hard for him to do. For him to come out and talk about his mental health at times was extremely... courageous, really, because not enough people are talking about that. That's something that's gained more exposure lately. But for him to flat out say, like, my mind wasn't right, not a lot of guys would say that in this league, and he did. And I think Houston is going to fall in love with him in a hurry, and the personality and the kid that he is, and he's going to be a guy I think we're going to hear a lot of positives about, and I think it's going to work out. Rich Anthony's been all over this on Twitter. There were moments last year, the Golden State game, really, at the end of the year, where he looked like, whoa, this is the athletic playmaking five that we envisioned when he went in the draft, or we expect a power forward version of that, more skilled. Looks like he's a little bit just more of a bulky guy around the basket, which is fine. But yeah, we're both obviously like rooting for them. I can't wait to see how they play. I'm really excited to see how they play. But now we should transition to the Suns aspect of this and getting Ryan Anderson and De'Anthony Melton. I think the biggest headline out of this, and I don't think we have to go too long on this, is Ryan Anderson is going to play the four. A lot of people were surprised because Trevor Ariza, myself included, thought that he was going to be the starting power forward. I think all this really indicates is what we already know, is that there's another trade coming, because you cannot have, I don't care who's playing shooting guard and who's switching to power forward, you cannot have Ariza, Bridges, Jackson, and Warren all at that position. You just can't. Even if one of them is permanently playing backup power forward or permanently playing backup shooting guard, whatever, all four of them are still small forwards at the end of the day, and you're going to have to open at least one of those spaces. That's just not how minute allocation works. You've still got Dragan Bender as well at the four. At the five, you've got Rashawn Holmes. At two, you've got Troy Daniels, Devin Booker, and Davon Reed. I know, like, maybe point Book, and then that opens up some space at the two, but still, I think there's just... another move coming, and that is when we can properly evaluate the depth chart of the team.
So, point guards. There are none on the market, really. I mean,
oh, we liked Anthony Melton a lot. We hope he sticks around. He's not signed to a contract, so we don't know if he's going to stick around. Will they keep two rookie point guards, like we said? Go back and listen to some of our podcasts from June. We had an episode specifically where we went over who were our favorite trade-up targets, who were our favorite guys at number 16, and who were our favorite guys at 31. Funny thing about that list, Kevin, trade-up targets, Mikal Bridges was on there. Number 16 targets, D'Anthony Melton was number one on that. And number 31 targets, Elie Okobo was number one on that list. So now all three of them are on the roster now. It's kind of funny how that works out.
Good job, us.
Yay, good job, us. Okay, point guards.
Dame time. I feel like they'd get rid of CJ first.
Me too. I don't think Dame's going anywhere.
That cost would be ridiculous.
Let's run through the list, the list of guys.
Do you want to go more reasonable first?
Yeah, sure. So there's two sections of this. There's the two legitimate star point guards that could potentially be available for a couple of reasons. Damian Lillard, because he reportedly met with management in January and said, yo, where's this team going? Which is not a great sign that you're... Your star point guard is asking that and just made first team All-NBA. Kemba Walker, 28, on an expiring deal. Mitch Kupchak, new GM, might just want to trade him for a couple of picks and just reset the thing there. And then there are some guys where you look at the point guard rotation on a team and you say, he shouldn't cost that much, right? And who's the name in that group that kind of sticks out to you the most?
To me? All right, so, man... I like DeLon Wright's like one of those where I feel like you could get him for a reasonable price, but we still don't know if he's good. But Raptors are interesting because they re-signed Fred VanVleet this summer, and we talked about that a while back. You have Kyle Lowry. Now, after this season, Lowry could end up in that list of veteran point guards to me. Like, if they lose Kawhi, they don't do that well, they're just going to reset. Like, maybe they try to move him before he starts going downward trend because he's kind of at that age. But DeLon Wright's kind of like the odd man out for right now, and he's actually kind of older than you would think. I think he's like 25, maybe even 26, but kind of a lanky combo do-it-all type of guy.
And someone who... Really, that Toronto second unit was fantastic, and... For those who were really watching the Raptors close, a lot of it had to do with Fred VanVleet. But when Fred VanVleet wasn't in that unit and he was running with the starters, it was DeLon Wright's doing a hell of a job, like with even with the importance of VanVleet. And as someone who I could really see, out of all the names we're going to talk about on this list, I think he's the one guy who could blossom. I think Terry Rozier, who we'll talk about later, is kind of already blossomed. But someone that could potentially blossom out of the role they're in, I think DeLon Wright's the big one.
Pacers have... A lot of point guards. They drafted Aaron Holiday, and we talked about this yesterday. Corey Joseph, Darren Collison, those don't really bring out, elicit a lot of like excitement. Corey Joseph's solid. He's younger than Collison, but he's solid. The Clippers have some older guys like Patrick Beverley, but he's coming off, I think it was microfracture. Milos Teodosic is a guy who's a passing wizard, but what else does he bring? Tyus Jones, because Tibbs still loves him some Derrick Rose.
They have
you
a
like
commitment.
Tyus Jones, huh?
They have a commitment to Jeff Teague. Tyus Jones, reports were coming out that he wasn't too happy in Minnesota, and then they responded by bringing back Derrick Rose.
Which tells you how much pull Tyus Jones has.
But. I really liked Tyus Jones at Duke. It was one of those things where you watch a guy and you see something like what we didn't see with Aaron Holiday. I saw with Tyus Jones and I was like, I love that dude. I think he's going to be good. Really great defender. And the good thing is, like, for all of his shortcomings as a scorer and everything, he's a really good distributor. So I guess kind of picture... A lower grade playmaking Tyler Ulis that's a really good defender of point guards. And I think that's kind of where I land with him. And I like that next to Book. I like that. And he would be cheap. He's their third string point guard right now.
Yeah. I think Rozier is like the most interesting to me.
Yeah.
Because he's just, as far as if we're on a sliding scale between like guy who's good and, you know, Tyus Jones, no offense, Tyus Jones, but he's like highest upside and reasonable because the Celtics have money locked up. They just got Marcus Smart back. They have to deal with Kyrie's impending free agency situation.
Player option on him next offseason and Al Horford. They still have Gordon Hayward for another year as well. They are going to have to figure some stuff out.
And Rozier, you talked about, what, last podcast or two podcasts ago, just watching guys in the playoffs and knowing that, hey, that's a good way to read someone. Dude's good. He's a pretty good all-around player. He's not your pure point guard, but I would like to see that. And it's just a matter of what cost. Like, honestly, like, what do the Suns have that's that good of a player after Devin Booker? It's not much after DeAndre Ayton. I mean, Josh Jackson's stock, I don't know where that is right now.
So Rozier, to me, is interesting for the reasons you just said, but also because there were some discussions while he was playing and he just had a big run of plays. It's like, is Terry Rozier playing himself out of trade consideration right now? Like, is he too good to the point where they would keep him over Marcus Smart and they want to keep Marcus Smart for now, but who knows how they feel in 6 months, a year, whatever it is. Terry Rozier's line, he started all 19 games the Celtics played in the postseason, averaged 36.6 minutes. He shot 41% from the field, 34.7% from three on 7.7 attempts a game. And then shot from the free throw line, he shot 82%. He averaged 16.5, 5.5, and 5.7 with 1.3 steals a game, too. So he was averaging 16, 5, and 5, shooting efficiently, and also racking up a steal and a half almost a game. Now, the interesting thing is, looking back, I keep saying interesting, the fascinating thing about Terry Rozier is looking at his regular season numbers. He is a career 37.7% shooter from the field in his career, his 3 years. With that being said, this year was the year he played a ton of minutes. He barely played his rookie year, second year 17.1 minutes a game, and then third year 25.9 minutes a game. He shot 39.5% from the field this year, so still not very great at all, but not as low as that number would say. And then from the three-point line, 35.5%. A solid, reliable shooter. Defensively, I think we all see it. And then as a playmaker, the playoffs was a really big eye-opener. And like, yeah, this guy could be your lead starting point guard because he averaged 2.9 assists a game in the regular season. But in the playoffs, new role, new injuries and everything like that, he comes in and he averages nearly 6 assists a game. That's the type of number you want to see next to someone like Devin Booker, who's going to do a whole lot of your playmaking as well. I think Terry Rozier is the one guy you go after that just makes a lot of sense, because he's not only, he kind of fits into what McDonough has been saying he wants. He wants a guy that is an all-star now, or he wants someone that could be an all-star in the future. And I'm not saying Terry Rozier is that, but he's good. He's a good NBA point guard right now, and he's also pretty young. And they have money that they can create. People are thinking, who do they go after in free agency and all that kind of stuff? Maybe they still go after guys, but locking up that core four, we already talked about a core four, but now a core five, I guess, including Terry Rozier, paying him his money, makes a lot of sense. But who do you trade for him?
The two guys...
They do not want TJ Warren. I'll just flat out say that. Like, yeah. There's no way they want TJ Warren.
That's what's weird about the Celtics. They already have a million wings who are better than what the Suns can give them, and honestly, TJ Warren, Josh Jackson are next up as far as trade value. That it actually, like, if you look at TJ Warren, I think maybe you could argue he's comparable to a guy like Terry Rozier. Maybe not quite there, but somewhere in that ballpark. And yeah, they don't need that. So that'd be another Celtics like Danny Ainge getting a first round pick, possibly, which could hurt the Suns. But right now, McDonough probably would consider that based on where they are and what they need to do, because they need to win.
If the core of a deal is Josh Jackson for Terry Rozier, and maybe there's assets sprinkled on the Celtics side, or maybe there's assets sprinkled on the Suns side, what do you think of that as a proposition? Because I don't think that's terrible. I don't think that's really far off.
Yeah, it's just depressing because it's fresh in your mind that the Suns didn't want to trade Josh Jackson for a Kyrie deal.
And he would be awesome in Boston. He would be so good.
And again, we don't know how far along that deal was or whatever was presented to whom, but yeah, that's what's in grading this. Like, that's where guy who's freshly drafted, once you see him in the NBA, even after a year, I think that matters to some degree. Like DeAndre Ayton, if he doesn't do well this year, maybe his stock is not nearly as high as, you know, the Suns are going to draft him, but that first pick. So,
and you still have TJ Warren in this scenario, and he's not ideal for what they want to do, but I think if there's less wings, you can figure out more ways to use him. But now, if you're looking at the start of the 2019 season, you only have him and Mikal Bridges as your wings all of a sudden. You go from 4 to 2 just like that. And that, too, you feel a lot better about it being Jackson and Bridges than you do about it being Warren and Bridges. And I think that is, I think the Suns, in my opinion, are looking at this and saying, we can afford to go up Josh Jackson in a deal, just straight up value. But I think that what we just talked about is the big hesitation. It's like, okay, a year from now, like, is Mikal Bridges just like our starting three? Are we that confident in him that we won't need Josh Jackson or TJ Warren involved as well? Or if we keep TJ, how do we navigate this currently? It seems like getting rid of him, not only because he doesn't fit, but because of how much money he makes, is could be a big part of this as well. That we're considering. Let's, with that in mind and that kind of decision-making in mind, let's move on to Kemba, because Kemba is a guy that Suns fans have debated for months. I wrote a story 7 months ago that said when Kemba was reportedly that he could be on the move before the trade block, I said, yeah, let's look at him, just not right now. Do it at the end of the year when you know more. Well, now we know more for sure. What we don't know is if you trade for Kemba Walker, you obviously like have to have that in mind that he's going to sign a contract extension already. How much are you willing to give up for that? How much are you willing to give up for paying him 20 plus millions of 25, 30, whatever it is, million dollars when he is 30, 31, 32?
That's where with him, more than any, more than Dame, like that's concerning, because he has a lot of mileage, I feel like, just because of how he plays. Like, he's a smallish guy. He's very physical. He plays really hard.
And Dame's just more smooth, too, you know?
Yeah, like, I don't know why Dame's I think
so,
of this.
Dame's so smooth, and you can just see him, even when he's older, having sort of a Jason Kidd type of, I'm going to figure out ways to keep myself pretty freaking useful on the floor, despite the fact that Jason Kidd was like this unbelievable fast break point guard and reinvented himself. I think Dame would find a way to reinvent himself as a scorer, where I look at Kemba and I'm just not 100% sure.
I think Kemba he's gotten like a lot out of his frame and right. His athleticism. Like, I don't think he's that great of an athlete. I think he's that hard of a worker where he's just gotten everything out of his body that he can, and that's great, but I don't know if that leads to longevity. So that's my concern. But on the other hand, if you're the Suns, that's like when you're negotiating or sitting down and talking about, do we want to trade for him? It's maybe we get him at not that high of a cost. I don't know what he would bring back because of all the things I just said. Like,
exactly.
I think he's a great player, but I just don't know how much you want to trade for a guy who, those are my worries, and he's on expiring.
I would rather, especially with Rozier being restricted, I would rather give up Josh Jackson straight up for Rozier, I think, than Walker. And some people are going to heavily disagree with that.
Yeah.
But just because of everything we mentioned, Rozier still has more potential. He's just, the other thing with Kemba is he's a great point guard, but stylistically, a little less of what you want, a little more ball dominant scorer. Rozier, not so much that. He takes a lot of bad shots, but not really that type of guy. Kemba is just, if the right deal's there. If we can take a deal that is, I think that article actually has like one of my suggestions, and I don't have the picks list in front of me, and I was walking to my car last night, and I was like, what picks do the Suns have? And like, that's where your brain is in late August. I just can't even really.
You watched a lot of Charles Knopf incompletions, yeah. Is what had happened.
Have I been calling him Chad wrong this whole time? Is his name actually not Chad?
No, I've had this discussion. They officially want it Charles, but apparently everyone else calls him Chad, like his teammates call him Chad, and he's probably like, no guys, I'm Charles. And it's like, well, you're not on the team in a few days, so it doesn't matter.
Wow. Yeah, see you later, dude. So with those deals, I think that's where you look at and say, for the right price, I would take Kemba Walker. If you're willing to take on TJ Warren and 2 first-round picks for him, sure. Like, our protected first round pick our protected first-round pick and the Milwaukee pick and TJ Warren with Rozier.
That's even too much. I don't even think you need to give up that much.
Yeah, and that all depends on if Charlotte... All of this... The dumbest thing about trades in the NBA by far that I've come to realize in the past couple of years, and shouts to my guy in Sacramento with his Buddy Hield adoration, is that all that matters is if this GM or this owner likes this player. If the Hornets like TJ Warren or they love him, this deal probably gets done. If they don't like him or don't love him...
He's from North Carolina, and you know who else is?
Michael...
Yeah.
Jordan... The second greatest basketball player of all time.
He loves mid-range shots. Do you know who else does?
I said it.
Michael Jordan.
You know who else loves backdoor cuts? Michael Jordan. that's all it takes. And you look at the DeMarcus Cousins trade with Buddy Hield. It's like the Kings just loved him. And what was the one where the Suns were close again, but it just came down to something like that again? Who recently got moved? Oh, my brain, no worky.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't remember, but there's just all these situations where it's like Paul George just, I like playing with Russell Westbrook. I like Oklahoma City. I know I said I wanted to be a Laker, but guess what? I changed my mind. That's how it goes. And that's just the complexity of this. So if Charlotte likes or loves TJ Warren, you want to know something, Kevin Zimmerman, or want to know what I think about this? I think if they like TJ Warren, this deal would already be done. And it would have been done probably weeks ago, in my opinion. So I think there's more to come on that that probably doesn't involve him or maybe involves him, but he's in a three-team deal. Give me your offer for, say, Portland says...
Give us an offer.
What's up? Yeah, we'll take an offer, I guess, but I mean, he just made first team All NBA, dude. Like, we'd probably rather move CJ, but yeah, give us an offer. What's your offer?
Initial or what I think would get it done, possibly?
You have to keep him on the phone, so I think you have to consider the latter. You don't want them to hang up.
All right, good rule.
Yep.
Josh Jackson.
This is coming from a lot of fantasy football negotiations I've had the past couple of weeks, too.
First round picks.
Which picks?
Suns this coming year.
Unprotected? Has to be, right?
Maybe you could do top three.
I think they say no. We're not doing that. He's first team all at 27
points. All right, unprotected.
Yep.
What else do they own? Just 2 years from now, the Suns?
Yeah, and the Milwaukee pick, which is not that great.
Yeah, you throw that in there. Would I throw in another prospect? Would I have to throw in Melton? I don't know.
I would
offer... Or a Kobo, maybe? I don't know.
I think the rule is on a Kobo, now that he signed his deal, he can't be traded.
For a little bit.
For a little bit. I think
maybe
that's
December,
the deal.
I don't know.
I would offer Jackson. I would throw in Warren if they wanted Warren, but I don't think they want both of them. Shouts out Farouk Aminu. and Mo Harkless. What's up, guys?
Dude, I think you got to include a point guard, so that's why, yeah.
I think it's Jackson. I think it's... three first round picks. I think it's your first round pick this year unprotected. I think it's your first round pick in 2 years unprotected. I think there's
a
second round.
I'll top five protect that one.
I'm not protecting anything. I'm getting Damian Lillard. I'm not protecting a thing. I'll throw in a couple seconds if they want it, and I'll throw in the Milwaukee pick too. So that's five picks. Sure. I'll throw in D'Anthony Melton, and we are going to call around the league and have this structure in mind with a point guard coming to you guys as well. So we'll talk about third round.
Why don't you throw in your car while you're at it?
If that other team needs the Milwaukee pick in exchange for giving up the point guard Portland needs, sure, let's do it. They brought back – no, wait, Shabazz Napier went to Brooklyn, right?
I don't know.
Your boy?
I don't know, man.
You got to keep tabs on your boy, Kevin. Come on.
He's LeBron's boy, not mine.
All right, so that's what I would give for Damian Lillard. I'm sure everyone's going to agree with me 100 million percent and just think that I properly judge the value of everything.
Yeah, you gave up a lot of things, and I just say that like it's probably fine, but it's just like literally a list.
Three years left on his deal. He's in his prime right now. He's not going to be on his prime when his contract ends. He just made first-team All-NBA. Have all the things. All the things. I would even give up Dragan Bender, Kevin. I would do it in a heartbeat without
that.
Thinking.
Like, yeah. I mean, they're kind of at that point. And that would absolutely destroy the team. But you would still have Damian Lillard and Devin Booker. So, I mean, if you're looking 3 years down the road, barring any crazy injuries with those two guys, like, it's not terrible. And then finally you start having draft picks again. But that's kind of where they're at. Like, they have, like, that's the thing about this trade. And again, it's trying to make up for past mistakes. This trade is that.
Yeah.
But they're at this point now, man, where it's, you gotta do something, because otherwise, like, just this roster is a mess right now. And I don't think that's harsh to say. Like, it just doesn't make sense. That's where I'm at. That's why we're waiting for a trade.
I'm there with you, sir. Speaking of that, today is August 31st. Kevin, I'm walking into work Wednesday, September 5th, around 3 o'clock, give or take, how early or late I am. Am I walking in with the Suns already having a new point guard or not?
No.
Not that quick, you think?
No.
Going to take a while?
That's why I think I'm speaking with, like, concern right now and criticism, is because last night it looked like, all right, this, they've got to have another move, right? They've got to. And granted, this one hasn't gone down yet as we speak, but once it does, they have what, like, less than a month to figure this out. And it's concerning just because they continue to, like, make it clear that they have to make another move, but they still have yet to make that move. So,
yeah, we're back to what we were. It's funny, the trade happened, and we're still back to, let's wait and see.
Which we were, like, 2 months ago at the beginning of the summer, I think.
The night they drafted Mikal Bridges, we came in here and did a podcast. We were like, okay, well, let's wait and see when TJ Warren gets traded or someone else gets traded. And that's the same thing. I don't think we mentioned this, but this type of move, I love it from an organizational standpoint, to kind of wrap it up, because it's the number one thing I like about this trade the most is that they are saying, we are committing to this season fully. We are getting rid of, like, okay, Marquese Chris, you had these couple of distractions here and there. You came in overshape. You had this thing in the weight room with homeboy. It's here and over there. They're moving on. They're moving on from Ray Knight too, but looking at this, they got a four who can space the floor for DeAndre Ayton and Devin Booker. They're probably going to go get a starting caliber NBA point guard. They're going to go after this as much as they can. So if you see the Kemba Walker trade break over this weekend and you think they gave up too much, that's probably by design, and they have been trying to. Gambo has said they've talked to Charlotte a couple of times this summer already about Kemba Walker. They have been talking about getting this point guard with other teams for a while now. So if you see something come across that's too much, or it can't be too much, you're not wrong, but I'm just saying, be prepared for that deal where the Suns give up too much, because I think it's coming, because now
they're pinned in a corner almost.
Scott Bordeaux messaged me and said the similar thing. It's like, now you have to pay a premium price, because if Toronto's like, we like DeLon Wright, and you guys have who starting a point guard? Yeah, we'll take 3 first round picks. Thanks. They could do that.
Like, exaggeration, but yeah.
Any team can do that to them right now, because they've put themselves in this position, which is not great.
Let's close with this. This is I know your answer.
Sure.
Already, but I'll just ask. Come opening night in mid-October, is it the 17th? I don't know. Something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Do they have a guy on the roster starting a point guard? Who's on the roster right now?
Is their starting point guard on their roster right now?
Yeah.
No. No okay. way. There's no way. I love Devin Booker so much, man. I love watching him play basketball, but if he's starting a point guard,
I'm like more on the, like, concerned level that that could be one of their players right now could be starting that they have.
We didn't mention this. Igor, in his introductory press conference, shot down immensely the idea of Devin Booker playing point guard. He was like, yes, he'll move there at times, but what we love about him is this, and this, not this, and this.
That's true.
But that's the head coach, and
I'm not talking about Devin Booker, though.
Front office. I know, but that's where my mind went. You're talking about Isaiah Cannon, aren't you? I think this team wants to do too much this year to settle at point guard. I think if anything is going to come, it's going to be an overpay for a good point guard.
Yeah, that's probably as reasonable as me guessing that it'll be one of the rookie guys.
This is interesting, too. So looking at this, like the Trevor Ariza thing, you got to think during the Ariza signing, to wrap this up, that they were, like, now looking back at this with all this information, they were looking for a point guard then. Like, they were on
and
the...
And that's what continues to concern me, is they haven't gotten it done.
Yeah,
so...
they tried. Maybe they tried. We don't know for sure if they tried for Fred VanVleet, but there were names there. There was VanVleet. There was Marcus Smart. Even your guy like Shabazz Napier. Like, I would sure take Shabazz Napier right now as the starting point guard over the options the Suns have right now. Like, maybe he's just a backup point guard, but at the end of the day, like, he's an NBA point guard, and I can't say that for anyone on the roster right now, except Booker is the best point guard on the Suns roster right now, without a doubt. Not close. And I don't like that.
It's not ideal.
Yeah. So next week, we'll kind of monitor the situation, probably have more reports to run with, because this is, like, the NBA, there's really nothing going on right now, and this is the story, so I expect a lot more rumblings to come out over the weekend, at least.
Keep those Woj notifications on.
Don't turn them off yet. We're not there yet.
Thanks for listening, everyone.